following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
Good morning, family. How are we doing today? Good? Good. It's nice to be in God's house. You know, I want to talk to you about Jesus this morning. Jesus clearly is the most important person in the history of humanity. He has changed the world more than anybody who has ever lived. In fact, our entire calendar has changed based on when He came. And your birthday is given a number based on when Jesus came. Jesus is absolutely amazing. I'm glad in this modern culture, I just saw in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that the top five best-selling books right now in nonfiction hardcover, two of the top five are about Jesus. And I thought that's really cool that Jesus is still part of our modern conversation in our culture. I think that's amazing. I'm excited about that. What's interesting is both of these books have completely different views and perspectives on who Jesus is. Each book is based on the author's own perspective or view of who Jesus is in their eyes, according to them. And although I'm glad that Jesus is in the conversation, the modern conversation, he's front and center and on the bestseller list, I think it might be a little better, rather than saying, well, who is Jesus to me as an author, or who is Jesus to me, it might be better to ask, who is Jesus according to Jesus? I mean, who does Jesus say he is? Because there's opinions all over the place, and people with opinions influencing other people about Jesus, and really not knowing who Jesus said he is. Because there's something about when you know the real Jesus, he changes everything. The real Jesus is amazing. There's a lot of versions of Jesus out there. I think oftentimes they miss the mark of who the real Jesus of Nazareth, who was God in flesh and walked the planet and changed the world. And everyone that he encountered and came in contact with was forever changed with the real Jesus, with the real Jesus. Now, one thing that Jesus was really passionate about, when we look at who Jesus was and is and what he did, one of the themes, one of the areas that was very, very close to his heart, we see from the very beginning, is making disciples. That's his main aim, right from the gate, making disciples. And I want to talk to you this morning about disciples. Not a disciple maybe the way me or you would view it, according to us, but a disciple according to Jesus. I think it's important to frame the conversation. What did Jesus say about himself? What did Jesus say about disciples? Because we can have all these different opinions. If I were to ask you this morning, do you consider yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You might say, well, I think so. I hope so. You might say, well, I'm a believer. Is that the same thing? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? We're going to look at what Jesus says a disciple is this morning. And I hope this stirs you and stimulates you to this word that's not used as often in our society as it should, disciple. It sounds like an old school word. The word disciple, we're going to look at as the way Jesus unpacks it and unfolds what it is someone who follows him and is committed to him and to his ways. And that kind of person becomes a life changer. But there are many other people who hear a version of Jesus and never become a disciple and therefore never end up being changed, and they never end up becoming a world changer. The disciples of Jesus turned the world as we know it upside down. Planet Earth was forever changed by Jesus, what he started and what he imparted to disciples who went in turn and made other disciples that changed the world upside down as we know it. I really believe, and other pastors and people I pray with have this same strong sense that God wants to pour out revival on our land again. God wants, he doesn't forsake a generation. God wants to do a new work, and it won't be like the old. God wants to do a new thing. I think God is still looking. The eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, go to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for hearts that are completely his so he can strongly support them. The heart of God has not changed. The MO of God and His kingdom has not changed. The work of the Holy Spirit has not changed. Jesus' mission has not changed. God is looking for people that will partner with Him on this journey, but it's got to be His way. It's not going to be our way. It's not going to be like the bestseller list. Well, this is Jesus according to me. No, let's look at Jesus according to Jesus. Let's look at disciples according to Jesus. And if you ask yourself that question, are you a disciple of Jesus? Or would Jesus say that you are a disciple of Jesus? Maybe that's a good way to look at it. Would Jesus say I'm a disciple? Would Jesus say you're a disciple? That's a better way to frame it. Because we're so independent today, we might say, well, I kind of think I am. I sort of feel like I am, so I guess I am. Therefore, I am. Are we a disciple according to Jesus? We're going to look at this today, unpack it a little bit. If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 4, we're going to jump in right there. But we're going to be looking at today what it really means to be a disciple, what it takes to be a disciple, and what it actually looks like. If you are a disciple, this is what it looks like. And my encouragement is that when you hear this today, you ask Jesus, Jesus, am I a disciple? Is this me? And if not, do I really want to become one? I mean, do I want to become one? Or do I want to just want to observe and kind of check this thing out? Starts out in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And this is Jesus calling His very first disciples. And anytime we see something come up in the Bible for the first time, whether it's a word, whether it's a theme, take note of it because it really starts to, it's called the law of first use, and it sets up a good precedent for how this thing works. And Jesus introduces this discipleship term and this picture right here as He chooses His first ones. Matthew chapter 4 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed Him. And going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Him. This is an explosive theme. It's an amazing visual. These guys have been doing what they've been doing every day for a long time. This is a family business. It's what they did. It's what their dad did. It's what their dad's dad did. And on and on and on. It's the way it's always been. Maybe sometimes you feel like life is that way for you. You do what you always do. And these guys have had this life of the same thing pretty much every day, every week, of what their life was about until enter Jesus. Enter Jesus the Nazarene. When He shows up on the scene, everything is forever changed. And I believe discipleship does this. The first disciples, we see a few key elements. He called them. First of all, He called out to them. Next, they heard the call. They actually recognized the call. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. There's something about identification. When Jesus is saying it, something about the Spirit of God beginning to pull you, because the Spirit draws us, the Bible says, where you start to go, wait a second, that's Jesus. And I recognize the I recognize the love in that voice, and I recognize the authority in that voice. So He calls, and we hear. And that's what happened. Jesus called, and they heard. But look, they also responded. They also responded. I want to unpack this a little bit, because they didn't just respond by saying, Jesus, is that you? Okay, cool, I believe. I'm going back to fishing, I believe. I'm going to be fishing, but we can catch up later. In fact, why don't I catch you over at Moshi's on Thursday, and we'll have some pita bread and falafel, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, okay? I'm going back to work over here. That's not what they did. These guys have had a lifestyle that never changed. It was the same day and out. It's what they did. It's what they thought they were maybe made for until Jesus entered the scene. And when Jesus called out to them and they heard their voice, they responded. Their response forever altered their life. They moved from a realm of mediocrity into extraordinary things. They changed from a life of just existing to a life of truly living. the abundant life that Jesus offered, everything changed on how they responded. They just didn't say, I believe, we'll catch you later. I'll talk to you when I get off of work. Make some time for you next week. You coming this way next week, Jesus? Maybe I got a minute. That's not what they did. They responded to Jesus and saying, I'm going to follow you. There's one thing I'm committing to. You are the way, the truth, and life, and I am following you. And I think it's an amazing snapshot. They didn't just believe, but they responded in a way that would radically change their life, and they stopped existing, and they started living the abundant life that Jesus calls people to. I would say that abundant life, even though we're not going to unpack that this morning, if you look at the abundant life that Jesus offers is for people who are disciples, not people who kick back and go, yeah, I believe, I'm cool. Walk away, I'll check with you some other time, Jesus, when I get a minute. Disciples. And that's why I think there are so many views of Jesus today, is because some people are very subjective when they look at Jesus. They never actually maybe followed and became a disciple to have the authority to write something knowing the true resurrected Jesus, to say, I heard his voice too, I responded to his call too, and I followed him too, and I walked with him for many years, and I read his word, I know him now. I don't just know about him, I know him now. And now what I want to share, I can tell you about Jesus, the resurrected one. Does that make sense? But some don't do that. Some learn a little here, a little there, very subjective, and have positions about who Jesus is. And, you know, you get all kinds of interesting things, Time Magazine and Newsweek around Christmas and Easter. You get all kinds of articles written about Jesus. But you listen to the content of some of these articles, and I have to say, do you even know him? Do you know him? The Bible says, without the Spirit of God, you cannot discern the things of God. And I don't know where they get some of these people from, but they're not disciples. They're not disciples. Some are. Sometimes they sprinkle in just to offset it a little bit. They put some legitimate person in there that's actually got a genuine relationship with the resurrected Jesus. But a lot of times you have a lot of cynical people, religious professors and cynical views and really limited. And you're thinking, this is the influence for people. This is what we're putting out. If we're going to have the conversation, let's look at Jesus according to Jesus. Let's look at disciples according to Jesus. And so the historical context of what's going on here, these guys are doing their job, Sea of Galilee, throwing out the nets. It's the family business. Jesus shows up in the New Testament 12 times. He's referred to as rabbi, teacher. We don't use the term rabbi, but Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi. He was also the Son of God and a miracle worker and Messiah. But he was a rabbi. He was a teacher. And he shows up on the scene, the teacher, and he calls out to them. Now, these guys understood in the context of Israel to come under the training of a rabbi was huge. It was an enormous process in discipleship. Most people, they simply didn't qualify for it. Most people weren't smart enough for it. They weren't sharp enough for it. However, if you were somehow to come under the direction of a rabbi, the typical answer would be, if you asked the rabbi, can I please come and study under you? The typical answer would be, no, you can't. Because rabbis are very selective and they can only pick a certain few, and they're looking for the cream of the crop. And that's the way it would go. So you pretty much, you had a long shot opportunity there. But instead, Jesus comes right to them, right where they're at, and says, you don't got to go hunt one down. I'm the teacher. I am the teacher. I am the rabbi. I'm coming to you, and I'm calling you out. These guys were floored. These guys' jaws, you can listen to their jaw hit the bottom of the boat. When Jesus said, stop, drop your net, follow me, they're like, unbelievable. A rabbi is calling me out. My friends aren't going to believe this. I mean, this is huge. We go, whatever, they're fishing. And no, this is big. You don't just follow rabbis. Jesus broke the mold, broke the trend of how this whole thing worked. And they come to follow the rabbi. They also know what it means, follow. Follow is not being used the way we use it today. You follow somebody on Facebook. You follow them. They're on Twitter. You follow people. I follow them, and I get this RSS feed. I follow, right? We use this term, we follow. That's not like following a rabbi. When you follow, you dedicate this entire next season of your life to follow Jesus the Christ. Not just, yeah, I get a tweet from him once in a while. Once I follow them, and I get these other 8 tweets or these other people on Facebook or whatever the trend might be, that our social structure lets us follow all kinds of people. In this case, It's beyond following that way. It's very personal. It's following Jesus on a whole radical level. These guys were committing themselves to follow and to learn and then to imitate. Here's the beauty. To follow, to learn, and then to imitate. They knew when they were following Jesus that the end result was going to be imitation at the end. It wasn't going to just be learn some cognitive approach to doing theological things. No. They were going to follow him. They were going to actually get to know him, not just about him. Because when you follow somebody, you don't just know about them. You begin to actually know them. And they're like, we're going to get to follow him. And we're going to really know Jesus. And then after we know Jesus, then we're going to be able to imitate him. And that was the whole premise for discipleship and Jesus calling people into discipleship. That's the premise for Jesus calling you into discipleship, is so that you and I too can follow, not just know about him, get to know him personally, and then guess what? To go out and imitate him. And this is the theme that was spreading virally through hearts that were contagious for Jesus, that was changing the entire Roman Empire in this early part of Israel right here, just spread like wildfire. So if you're a note taker this morning and you want to know about discipleship according to Jesus, the first point this morning, and I recommend if you're even interested at all in being a disciple the way Jesus qualifies a disciple, write these down, think about them, pray about them later, and ask God, where do you fit into this? But a true disciple commits themselves to follow, to learn, and to imitate. It's all of those, to follow and to learn and to imitate. And it's so important because without doing it God's way, you can't really be a disciple. You know, I've met people along the years, well-intended people. I don't know how close they were following. I don't know if they spent a lot of time learning, but well-intended out there trying to imitate. And you can't imitate Jesus until you follow him and you learn from him. He knew that. This is his modality. If you follow me and learn from me, then you will be able to imitate. The Church of Antioch, first place they called the disciples Christians. First time the Christians, originally derogatory term, you're little Christs running around. You're like these Christ-likes running all over the place. And this is the term they were used. That's actually a cool thing. That's a compliment because these guys were literally, they followed and they learned and they were imitating. All these people in a city imitating Jesus, the resurrected one. How cool is that? That's the first place they were called Christians. And then we move on. We just kind of use the term believers. And I don't know, to me, to you, what do you think? I don't know. Sort of feel like a disciple. I don't know. And we get kind of loose with it. And it's like, wait, unless we stop, hear the voice of Jesus the Nazarene and say, yes, I hear your call and I'm going to respond to it. Not to go back fishing and check with you next week. I'm going to follow you, and as I follow you, I'm going to get to learn from you, and I'm doing this with the reality and the promise that I'm going to imitate you, because you end up saying, I'm going to be with you always to the end of the earth, and I'm going to give you my spirit so you therefore can go and be an imitator of me. This is Jesus' thesis. It's his model. It's his modality of discipleship. What's a disciple according to Jesus? A true disciple commits themselves to follow, to learn, and to imitate. He's calling us to do the same thing, to follow, to learn, and to imitate. Matthew 11:29, you know, some of you are thinking like, what do I got to do right now? Do I got to add a bunch of stuff to my life? What's this going to take to be a disciple? I mean, what's the load? I got a busy life. I got limited time. What does it mean for me to be a disciple? Where are you going with this, Pastor? Matthew 11:29. Jesus saw a lot of people with heavy loads in their life. And he came to say, I did not come to give you a load. I did not come to give you anything that you can't handle. In fact, he said in Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Jesus is saying, I want you to learn from me. He's saying, I want you to spend time with me so I can impart some things to you. But I don't want to give you anything that's going to make you wobbly. I don't have any overwhelming, overbearing load. He's saying, what I have for you is incredibly doable. I am sure of it. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. When it comes to discipleship and Jesus saying, here, let me take that yoke off of you because you have some heavy yokes in your life. Let me put this yoke on you. He says, I want you to take my yoke and learn from me. Again, Jesus saying, the only way you can follow and imitate is if you learn from me. And so this is an intentional imparting from Jesus. And the word disciple has the root word of discipline in it. And it refers to stopping and having the discipline, the self-discipline to say, I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. And so this is where it begins. And we can never replicate him. We can never imitate him without going through this process. There were times in this country, and I was actually excited, you know, the turn of the century, there were all kinds of things popping up for discipleship. You had navigators, all kinds of other groups coming out and just teaching, like, how do we help people who believe in Jesus? And yes, pray and read your Bible. But how do we intentionally help people and take it from here to be real disciples? And, you know, 100 years ago, things were blowing up in that department. There was all kinds of great stuff going on, intentional programs, people, ministries, missions, where this was going on. Today, I don't really see that so much. I think, you know, modern Christianity has gotten pretty lax. It's pretty chill. It's pretty selective. It's pretty opinionated. It's pretty stylistic. And I think when you look at the kingdom of God in the early church, how they viewed this thing of discipleship, when you look at discipleship according to Jesus, you're like, this was no joke. This was like serious. But the people that said yes were forever changed. They were changed. And they ended up changing everyone around them. There's so much power in this. There's so much life in this. This is not just a, cool, I heard you, Jesus. I'm going back to fishing. Catch you next week. It wasn't just, I kind of believe. Doesn't that make me a disciple? No, it's people who say, I am a follower of you. And I want to learn from you because I am going to imitate you. Because you told me to. And you're going to empower me to. And I'm going to be an imitator of Jesus, the resurrected one. Does that make sense? That's what a disciple is. It's not just the believer. I kind of believe. It says in James, even the demons believe and shudder. So believing is like, yeah, so it's good, but well, I believe. Yeah, that's good. Okay. But being a disciple, there's a lot of people on the hillside who watch Jesus do miracles and go, I believe he does miracles. I just saw it. I believe it. Were they a disciple? Were they a follower? No. A lot of those people just walked away. If you asked them, do you believe? Yeah, I believe in him. I saw he did. I totally believe. I know a miracle when I see one. I believe. But are you a disciple? Are you a follower? Are you learning from him with the intention of replicating? That is a disciple. And that is the abundant life. And that's what you were made for, family. It's a whole different level. It's exciting stuff. Jesus says this is very doable. And then when these disciples committed to Jesus, what were they signing up for? What were they committing to? I think that's important to look at. They weren't just signing up for some principle or a purpose. They were signing up with a person. Jesus, the resurrected one. I'm following him. Not the principle or the theme of something. I'm not just signing, like in school you might sign up for, well, I'm going to study, accounting or economics, or I'm going to study, you know, a principle. This is like, no, I'm signing up for Jesus. That's what I'm signing up for. It's not a program. I'm signing up for Jesus. And at the same time, when they signed up for Jesus, they didn't just think that, hey, just, you know, I'll sit in the back of the crowd and eventually Jesus is going to rub off on me somehow. That's not what they did either. They realized Jesus has a process. And whatever his process is, might not be my process. I'm going along with Jesus and I'm going to go along with his process. And I think that's important because I believe making disciples is a process. And you look at the 3 years Jesus spent with the people around him, and this process was on display for us all. And it wasn't a quick fix sort of thing where Jesus sits down with them once and poof, they're ready to roll. It became a lifestyle. It became a lifestyle. It became a disciple had a different lifestyle. If I'm following you, there's some things in my life that are changing, because to really be a follower of you, everything can't be the way it was. I can't really stay in that boat. Now, I'm not saying God is calling you from your job or your career or what you do. We see that in this passage, but the reality is he is calling you away from some things. He's calling you away from things that get in the way from being a full follower of him. And that theme is throughout the Bible. So a second point this morning, if you're a note taker on a disciple according to Jesus, a true disciple commits to Jesus, his process, and his lifestyle. To Jesus the person and his process, because he has one, and that this is going to be a lifestyle change. This is not just, yeah, I believe, I'm going back fishing, we good? No, it's like, follow me, learn from me. I want to give you the kingdom. I want to show you what the abundant life is. I want to show you, like the movie Son of God, if you guys, it's coming out soon, by the way, and we had the preview of seeing it. But there's a scene in the beginning of the movie where Jesus is in the boat with Peter, and he reaches down and touches the water, and Peter's like, sees the miracle, and is like, wow, what are we going to do now? Jesus says, now we're going to change the world. And that's exactly what they did. They changed the world. But it wasn't an idea or a principle. It was through Jesus, his process, and his lifestyle. And these guys would not let anything stop them. They were not going to let anything stop them from Jesus, his process, and his lifestyle. They had a commitment to it. And I hope you won't let anything stop you. If you have something in your life, and you might ask the Lord, am I a disciple? Because if you have one takeaway today, I hope it's this. Jesus, am I a disciple? And if not, what's in the way? Is there something in the way? Because it's very common for us to all have things in the way. Very common for us to have things in the way. In the Bible, we see the passage on the rich young ruler. And in his own eyes, if you said you believe in Jesus, he'd go, yeah. Comes right up, great teacher, you're the ultimate rabbi. Awesome, great teacher, Jesus. He believes. And Jesus says, yeah, he believes. He's not a follower. Sir, I hear your heart. I hear you're well-intended. But I want to take you on the journey of a lifetime. Will you follow me? I mean, come. Will you follow? He's like, no, I can't do that. I mean, I believe. I'm cool. I can't follow. You sure? Jesus is like, I tell you what. Why don't you go home, get rid of anything that's in the way of you, whatever's stopping you. Anything stopping you from following me. Go home and work that out. Why don't you come? He's like, no, I can't. And the story says he walks away sad. He walks away sad. Why? Because he knows he's missing out on the abundant life that is that way, following Jesus. But he loves certain things too much that he isn't going to give them up. And they're things that get in the way in his life. And we can all have those. Well, what will people think of me? What about, you know, this? Or what about, you know, all these other things that we might come up with. And Jesus would say, follow me. Please follow me. I've got nothing but life for you. It's the abundant life. I'll let you in on greater things, and you will be a world changer too. But you gotta follow me. And if there's things in the way, to deal with those things that are in the way. That's really important. The third point this morning is that a true disciple is willing to put Jesus first. See, he's got to be first. The Bible calls him our first love. Seek first God and his kingdom, and all these things will be added. People go, well, why am I missing out on so many of these things, and I don't get it? And I would challenge you with the question. I know it's a hard one. You might go, what are you even talking about, Pastor? Are you a believer or a follower? Because there's a lot of people who say they believe, and there's people who write books on the bestseller list who got views, and Jesus is in the conversation. That's cool. But are they followers? Because if they're followers and they're these disciples of Jesus, and they get in on other aspects, and there's even scriptural promises for those people that if you seek first God and his kingdom, these things are added to you. There's, you know, I just want to qualify this. Jesus told his disciples certain things that will apply to disciples who are really followers. And so Max Lucado said a pretty profound statement. Max Lucado is usually very poetic. very kind, very gracious in his writings. He writes books. He's just a prolific writer. Beautiful, beautiful works. But when it came to the topic of Jesus being first, he had a pretty bold statement. He said that if Jesus is someone that you could just take him or leave him, you might as well leave him, because Jesus won't be taken half-heartedly. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And I think that's true, because Revelation gives the same snapshot. It's like, you know, are we following or are we not following? Are we just believing? Does that make sense? Do we take them half-heartedly? And the Bible's got a lot to say about even a Christian. In fact, the book of James, written to Christians, about being double-minded. Yeah, I believe in you, God, but yeah, I'm over here. I think I want to follow, but I'm over here, and not really figuring out what we want to do and where are we at and where's our conviction and what's our direction. And James 1 talks about being double-minded. To quote a friend of mine, Ray Johnston, he says, a double-minded person is often confused in his thoughts, his actions, and his behaviors. He's in conflict with himself and struggles to lean on God with confidence. The result is an undefined direction that doesn't lead anywhere but to exhaustion. I believe that's the case in a believer's life. If we're not a follower, I think I am, maybe I'm not, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. Oh yeah, I think I am again. And there's no definition, there's no clarity. And it leads to a life of exhaustion because we're not walking in what God's calling us to walk in. And I think that's what his aim is. So after we follow Jesus, the commitment to follow, and after we begin to learn, then we begin to imitate. It says in Luke 6:40, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like the teacher. Jesus is saying, here's the point. I want you to learn from me. I want to impart things to you. He did it with the apostles 3 years. But you're going to be like me. If you keep walking with me, you're going to be like me. Now, we all fall short. We are not Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But Christ-like in that we represent him where we go, and we walk as sons and daughters of the Most High God in the power of the Holy Spirit that he imparts to his people. That is something that is promised to his people. And so a few other scriptures just to wrap on this. The process of becoming fully trained. This is saying that if you are fully trained, you'll be like your teacher. Let me ask you, have you had a season in your life where you hit the pause button, a reset button, to go into any kind of training? Any kind of training. I mean, discipleship training. Have you had a season in your life where you said, no, I'm going to actually make a commitment to kind of get fully trained here, whatever this Jesus is talking about. To be fully trained, I'll be like my teacher. No, I never did. I caught a couple Bible studies. I've been in and out of church for a few years, but no, I haven't actually done that. Well, that's maybe a good start, but I want to encourage you, has there been a process in your life whereby you committed as a follower to really come to know him through a process of learning from him and becoming more fully trained? Because the Bible tells us to be prepared in season and out of season. This is believers, all of us, to no one runs the race without going into strict training. Many of us are running a race, all of you, if you believe in Jesus. And has there been any training in your life, or we just kind of hope this works? Going to strict training. Study to show yourself approved. There's these scriptures about the people of God going through some sort of training and literally getting equipped. And we want to encourage you that if you haven't had a season of real training, of real discipleship in your life, I pray that you pray about making it right now. I really do. I want to pray. I believe God's going to be bringing revival to our city. And I believe he wants to raise people up to be in the place, to be the kind of people and prepared people for what he has in store. And it's only going to happen. I liken the analogy to a surfer who might look at the ocean and go, yeah, it's flat. I'm not going out. Why would I go out? Why would I grab my board and suit up and wax my board? I'm not going to do that. But if God's saying get ready, then you get ready. Because when God does move, there's going to be some that are going to be on the sideline watching, just like Jesus and the apostles go by and go, oh, I think I missed out on something there. And for the rest of their life, there'll be people up at the Sea of Galilee still fishing, doing the same old thing, wondering what it would have been like if they would have said, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. And there's other people who are writing history through the New Testament who did follow Jesus and changing their world. God will use you to be a world changer. That's his heart. He's got abundant life for his people in an expression of discipleship. And so we are offering this Metro School of Ministry. And I want to encourage you guys, if you haven't taken a season of your life where you had definitive, a season of training, where you literally said, wow, I never really started to break it down and unpack it and explore God's kingdom and who Jesus is and the dimensions of how this whole following Jesus works, I want to encourage you, jump in. Jump in. It's our vision for us as a church, as a ministry, to raise up a Bible Institute level discipleship program that will affect not just tens or hundreds, literally thousands in this city. I'm very convicted that, you know, I love higher education and I think it's great, graduate level stuff. But personally, rather than seeing 100 PhDs, I would rather see thousands of people released in the full priesthood that God has with solid discipleship training to go public for his glory. Because that's the priesthood of all believers. And that's the way it was in the early church. See, before Jesus, it was just the Pharisees and the people. And Jesus broke that mold with the whole rabbi follow me thing. Went straight right to people. You don't got to wait in line and you don't got to be rejected. Follow me right where you are, how you are. I know your past better than you do it. Don't worry, just follow me. Just don't get it all figured out. Don't wait till you're ready. Now's the time. Just follow me. And the people that said yes, spent a few years with Jesus, were forever changed and began to be the ones that Jesus used to change the world. I believe that's what God wants to do in this generation. I really do. So if you if you haven't been through that season, I encourage you to jump into that season. And lastly, is the scripture in Matthew chapter 28. In fact, if the worship team could come up, this would be a good point. We looked at what it means to be a disciple. We looked at what it takes. But here's what it looks like, if you want to jot this down. Scripture qualifies this. This is what the marks of a disciple are. A disciple bears fruit, does good works, and here's the big one, and makes disciples. If you are a disciple, you might have asked yourself earlier today, am I? I think I am. I hope I am. I feel like I might be. I want to be. It's good. A disciple, according to Jesus, makes disciples. And that means freely you've been given, freely give. And you don't have to be some PhD. You have to know Kingdom of God 101. What did Jesus do in your life? What has he shown you? What has he explored? And to begin to impart and give away. The beautiful analogy, you have two seas in Israel, both profoundly significant. You got the Sea of Galilee up north, which is absolutely beautiful. You got the mountains and the rainwater running off of these mountainsides into the Sea of Galilee. It's thriving with life, and out of that flows the Jordan River, and it goes down south to an even larger body of water, except for that body of water has zero life in it. And you say, how can two bodies of water being connected, how can one be thriving with overwhelming life and the other one be completely dead with nothing in it? It's called the Dead Sea, by the way, for a reason. And the reason is, the sea to the north has life flowing in and life flowing out. And therefore it thrives. The one to the south has life flowing in, nothing flowing out. And nothing lives in the Dead Sea. You weren't designed to be a Dead Sea and to take in. And take in and not give away. You were designed to be a Sea of Galilee. Take in and give away. And when you're willing to do that, you become a disciple-making disciple. And if we're not making other disciples, then we're not fully a disciple. This morning you might say, hey, Pastor, I'm just figuring this out. I'm willing to start growing. Hallelujah. Along the way, start imparting what God shows you. Some of you have been through training. Some of you in this room have taken seasons of training in your life. And if God's calling you out to a whole nother level of imparting, because it's time to start giving the kingdom away to people. If we're going to emulate the Jesus that we follow, which is his heart and his call, it's going to take receiving the kingdom and giving the kingdom away. So I just want to close in prayer right now and ask God to seal some things in your heart, in my heart this morning. But I do pray that when we look at discipleship, it was so close to Jesus' heart. He begins his gospel calling his first disciples, and he ends his gospel saying, now, you guys go and make disciples. I'm going to be with you. You won't be alone. But now you go. Tag, you're it. I spent 3 years with you, training you and showing you, revealing my heart to you, explaining the kingdom to you, letting you get in on the nature and what I want to do and how I do it. Tag, you're it. Now you go and do the same. And that is the heart of Jesus, I believe, for you and for I. And let's just close in prayer and ask God to seal some things in our heart. Mighty God, we love you. We love your word. We love the power of it. God, I just pray for this area, Lord, that we would figure out where we're at in this process. Believer, or are we following you? And if we're following you, are we at the back of the pack? Or do we actually want to walk up close to you? Do we want to listen to you? Do we want to get in on, Lord, what you have to say? And Lord, I pray, Lord, that all of us in this room would say, Lord, if this is your process, who am I to make up my own? I want to grow. I want to learn more. I want to experience you more so that I can represent you better, that I can imitate you, Jesus, and that I can give the kingdom of God away in the full spectrum of your gifts and the sharing of the gospel. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room with all the beautiful, unique diversities that you have among us, God, that you would begin to stir us in a way that we would say, yes, I didn't just hear his call, but I'm responding, and I want to commit to following and growing. And Lord, others in this room said, yeah, I've actually had seasons in my life where I did a lot of extensive growing, but I never really gave away, and it's time to start giving it away. Lord, I just pray that you would shake us, God, and we would be disciples who make disciples, because, Lord, you didn't come for people to exist. You came for them to live. There's an abundant life to be had, and it is in Christ alone.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit valleymetrochurch.com.